Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, as he does each and every Friday. Big series for the Red Sox, by the way, as the schedule starts to get tougher. They're in Cleveland taking on the Guardians, which is still weird to say. Our friend Will Fleming, a part of the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Network with Gresh and Keefe. Will, do you have to keep saying to yourself, Guardians, Guardians, Guardians? Do you have to, like, talk yourself out of not saying Cleveland Indians?
I do, and I think good to be with you guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I think we're going to have to put, like, a big old poster board on the window that just says Guardians. And every time I say it, I still think it just doesn't really sound right. And that's not to say I'm advocating for, you know, the Indians to stay around, but I just think they could have gone Rockers or something else that would have been much more fun. But yep, we'll remind ourselves, and hopefully we'll be saying the Red Sox beat the Guardians tonight.
Will, how do you feel about this club? I mean, after splitting with Cincinnati now forever ago, they've just won every series that they've played. And I know these teams aren't great, but they've been taking care of business, and the pitching has been fantastic, and then they're getting enough hitting.
They're playing great. I mean, it's hard not to feel really good about them. And think about the fact that they lost two starting pitchers and have totally thrived in that time. I mean, you're without Eovaldi. And say what you want about Garrett Whitlock as a starter for now. They've been without him, too, and that just has not mattered at all. And you and I, we've all been talking about it for a long time. They needed to take advantage of the stretch of the schedule they just went through, and they absolutely did. And you know, the thing that Tanner Houck starts to stabilize the back end of the bullpen and give that whole outfit more structure. And then, you know, the thing that stands out to me over these last, say, 10 days is that all of a sudden, it's not just pitching that comes up from AAA and helps. It's these position players. I mean, Franchi's been doing it all year, but, you know, Jaron Duran really looks like a guy who has made a big-time adjustment and looks the part of somebody who can really contribute. And then Rob Refsnyder, you know, I mean, he's done everything they could ever have dreamed of and more. So not only are you winning ball games, but you're showing some real depth in the organization that people can come up in waves, and all of a sudden you got tough roster decisions. So to me, that's a real sign of not just that you're winning right now, but that the organizational health is really in a spot that it maybe wasn't a couple years ago.
Will, you mentioned winning tonight, and Nick Pivetta is on the mound. And, of course, last year our friend Christopher Mad Dog Russo did the Nick Pivetta, really? And there were that at times. But why has he been successful this year, in your opinion?
Well, two things. Number one, he is just a case study for this organizational philosophy of, we're going to focus on your strengths and eliminate the weaknesses and give you the confidence to go out and do that. And so it's the pitch mix for him, and really convincing him that he doesn't need to throw 96 every night for the fastball to be effective. And, you know, curveball command is always so important for him. When he spins that thing, the fastball plays even better. But it's been a process of convincing him to use the mix that he has. And then it's just comfort, guys. I mean, I think it's such a weird game baseball is, where he's not a different person, but it's a different scene and a different group of minds working with him, whether it's Dave Bush or the whole pitching organization here. he's comfortable, and then that allows him to be what he is, which I think we all love watching. He's just a madman on the mound. I mean, he's able to just focus it in, and I've had so many conversations, which is so funny, about guys talking to me about, you know, days that Pivetta is pitching well, like in the middle of the game, he's dealing, and they'll go into the clubhouse or in the dugout, and he's furious. Like, he's breaking things. We've seen shots of him, you know, slamming coolers in the dugout. He becomes an animal on the mound, and he's a real gentle guy off of it. I love the transformation every single time he pitches, and when he takes the ball, you got to feel really good about the Red Sox chances.
Has he been the biggest surprise so far for the team, or has it been Michael Wacha, or do you have somebody else?
I'd say probably Wacha. You know, I mean, we saw it from Nick enough last year, you know, especially in that playoff game and some of those huge, huge series down the stretch where Nick prove that it was in there in the big spot, whereas Wacha, you know, on the other hand, the Red Sox destroyed him in the playoffs, and you thought, man, is there really anything left in the tank? And he's been right there with Pivetta as their best pitcher, so I think he's probably the top of my list in terms of surprises for the season.
Will Fleming, a part of the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Network, here with Gresh and Keefe. The Indians, in the last 21 games, I think they're 17-4. Like, the Yankees have been hot, the Red Sox have been hot, and right in between them is kind of Houston and sneaky Cleveland. Why have they turned it around, Will?
Well, the first part of it, like the Red Sox, is they just pitch, man. And they've been able to do that for a long, long time. This is one of the model organizations, really, in the whole sport, where they've got whatever the secret sauce is in terms of just finding a way to pitch. And by the way, there's been turnover. It used to be guys like Kluber that were, you know, the aces of this staff, and they've just found other people, you know, whether it's Shane Bieber, this kid Tristan McKenzie has turned into a real guy. The kid we'll see tonight, Cal Quantrill, has pitched really well. And then, you know, offensively, Jose Ramirez is, you could argue, he's the best hitter in the game. And it's crazy to say that when you got guys like Judge and Trout, and even Rafi Devers is in that conversation. But Jose Ramirez, I mean, you look at the numbers, and he is there with almost anybody, especially over the last 5-6 years, and he's continuing it this year. So, you know, they've got a deep offense. They just have guys you've never really heard of, like Naylor and Jimenez, who are just really good players. So it's a credit to Tito Francona, their whole organization. They've won, and I'm really it's strange to say it, but I'm excited to be in Cleveland and play this 3-game series.
You mentioned Aaron Judge in there. What were your thoughts when you heard Buster Olney suggest that, you know, this offseason the Red Sox could make a run at signing Aaron Judge?
That ain't happening. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, come on. You're telling me they're going to spend that money on Aaron Judge but not on Devers or Bogarts? That's no way. I just don't see that happening. And because, especially since not only does Aaron Judge want the massive money, he has made it totally clear that he wants the super long-term deal. And I think that, not the money, might be more of a sticking point with the Red Sox as they are currently, you know, run and operated. So to me, look, are they going to kick the tires on everybody? Yes, they always do. But I would be absolutely flabbergasted if they went that route. That to me, that just does not add up.
But what's also interesting down there in New York is that you had the arbitration hearing where I think the Yankees went for like $17 million and Judge wanted $21 million. To me, Will, it's a reminder. We look at it on the outside and view it one way, but people in baseball completely view these players differently maybe than some of us do on the outside. To think that $4 million that big to the New York Yankees, well, it's enough to quibble and maybe piss off their best hitter right now.
It is. Isn't that crazy, the business side of sports? And you talk to these front office people, and it's a new generation. And they do think that it's worth it to save that money because it might get them somebody else that they need to help them in a different way. I'm with you in your assessment that why would you anger the guy who is clearly your best player, your leader, and having an all-time career season, and maybe leading your team to the most wins in the history of the sport? Why would you anger him? If I were running the show, I probably would split that difference and get it done and just say, let's move on, because we're already into the next the next wave of negotiations. You can't tell me that that's not going to impact the next round, and he's not going to try to extract it in the next time. $4 million compared to what the rest of what they're talking about, it seems like peanuts to me.
I mean, the Red Sox also have had a history of insulting their players with offers.
Well, but I think it's an overall reminder that our view is one thing,
yeah,
and then the view of the people in the game
is... Well, no, I don't even think it's that. I think it's that these teams somehow feel like, oh, well, we'll get in here now. We don't want to bid against ourselves, so we'll offer you this little amount,
mm-hmm,
or we'll take you to arbitration, even though you're the best player on our team, like they did with Mookie Betts years ago. But then once they hit the open market, somebody's going to pay Aaron Judge a ton of money.
Truthless.
Yeah, no, it's something. Will, we saw the major league debut of Jeter Downs, who, speaking of Mookie Betts, he was the top prospect in that trade. I'm not going to write him off after one game, obviously, but based on who's at the big league level and some of the guys that are in the minor league system that play up the middle, what kind of future, if any, do you think Jeter Downs has with the Red Sox?
Man, there's work to do. There really is. I mean, and it surprises me that he's still young, and it's like once you become a top prospect, it's very difficult to shake that label. It's like the people, the scouts, the evaluators who make all these lists, if you're at one point like the number one or two prospect in an organization, it becomes very difficult to plummet and go to like the 28th. And I think you could maybe argue that that's what Jeter is right now. I mean, he is young, as I said. There's time to get better. But, we've seen a lot of him in spring training. He hit a .180 at AAA. You know, the numbers, they'll tell you that the numbers don't reflect all the quality of the at-bats and everything. Well, then you saw what happened against Major League Fastballs in his debut. So, you can be optimistic and hopeful. But, it's hard to see that he is on the path to be some major kind of impact player.
Will, I know that after Cleveland, it's to Toronto. So you lose Duran, you lose Houck. I'm a little more concerned on the Houck end of things. Does it completely overturn, not completely overturn, but how does it maybe mess up sort of the pitching rotation, bullpen usage, things like that? And are the Red Sox better equipped to deal with it this time around than the last time they were in this spot?
Well, I mean, the short answer is no. I mean, who is? They've had this long quest to find a closer, and they finally have one, and now he's going to be unavailable. So it is, the whole thing stinks again. I mean, we look back to what that did when the first time, and I think that is the reason that Garrett Whitlock went in and became a starting pitcher, and that has had some downsides, too, to the whole bullpen. So, you know, I mean, I think guys like Matt Strom and certainly John Schreiber, who's been wonderful, John Schreiber will get those chances if the schedule plays out and if he's rested. You know, you never know what's going to happen in these games in Cleveland. And isn't that amazing? John Schreiber is now the most trusted guy after Houck, and he is. But that means that he won't be available to get the big hitters in the seventh inning or the eighth inning. So it's not just the ninth inning. You got to think about the fact that, you know, you get 18 outs from a starter, and then you got nine more to get. And we've been in that ballpark enough times. And you know, the Blue Jays have not played as well as people thought they would, including me. I mean, I thought they'd be better than they have been. But Hernandez is back and swinging it again. Vlad Guerrero's hot. We've been in there enough times where that ballpark late in the game feels different than other places, where you just say, uh-oh. You know, you're just looking ahead. Here come Bichette, Guerrero, and Hernandez. This is going to be a very hard three outs to get. So you sure would rather have Houck doing that than anybody else.
Is this thing trending towards Garrett Whitlock going back to the pen? You know, once, you know, Eovaldi can get back, obviously Whitlock has to get back too, but once Eovaldi gets back, Winkowski's giving them good innings, and then we know Sale's around the corner at some point, would that lead, in your mind, Whitlock to getting back in the mix in the pen?
I think it's definitely possible. And they've been pretty cagey about whether that's going to happen. You know, usually I get the truth on almost everything. And I'm not saying they're not being truthful about this, but I think that they mostly haven't totally decided. But I think it's in discussion. It's in play. I think the one thing about it is the medical side of things, because I think that was a big part of the decision to keep him in the rotation. You know, he's not that long removed from Tommy John, and they want to make sure that whatever they're doing with him is the best for his arm, because long-term they want him to be a starter and they want him to be a big part of their whole deal. So I think the medical side of things will impact that decision, and they'll say to themselves, you know, when he's back, is it better for his arm and his back and his hip and all these things to pitch every 5 days, or can he go back to what he did last year? Is the body ready to go every 2 days and three innings at a pop? And, you know, the one thing that I think becomes super interesting to me, guys, is this dude, Brian Bello, is this monster lurking in the minor leagues. I mean, every single time he pitches, he blows people away. And it's 98 with an unbelievable changeup. You see the videos of it. I mean, it does look Pedro-esque. And if that dude can come up and become, like, how long has it been since the Red Sox have had a young, exciting, homegrown starting pitcher who comes up and builds that level of excitement and can start right away and be a high-level starter? I mean, it's been a long time. And if that happens, then I think that is even more reason that maybe Whitlock can go back to doing what he did last year.
Will, I know I am asking you to buy into or project rumor and innuendo, but you've been around the game
Perfect.
A long time. Are we getting to the point to where there are some trade winds? Is it a breeze? Is it a stiff wind? Are the trade winds really blowing? Where are we as we approach late June in terms of trades, rumors, and teams talking that you have heard about?
Yeah, I think it's more rumor than any activity. I mean, always, always, guys are talking, and I know the Red Sox have engaged in some conversations, but, you know, this is one of those cases where deadlines do force deals, and I think especially on the lower end of these teams that are just shamefully tanking, and we all know who those teams are, that have pieces, whether they be bullpen arms or bats or, you know, whether it's Josh Bell, the first baseman, those teams have no incentive right now to engage in a deal, because the later it gets, the closer to the deadline, the more suitors there will be and the more pressure. So, I mean, I think it's just it's way early. And I think you might see some small, you know, deals around the margins in the next few weeks. But I expect that it will be a lot like every year, where we'll have to wait till we get into that last week before the deadline for activity to really, really get going.
Will Fleming, he will be on the call tonight on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Network. Will, enjoy Cleveland, if that can be done. I hate Cleveland. It's a toilet.
I don't mind it.
It's brutal. They lit a river on fire. How special do you have to be to do
we'll
that?
Stay out of the river.
I'm looking at it right now. It is not on fire. Yeah. Thanks.
No, it isn't. It is not. Hey, Will, thanks, man. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks so much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.